So my talk for today is on predicting soybean root growth by water depletion in the soil profile. Hold on. And these are the number of co-authors that helped me get through by this experiment this year. Most detailed soybean root studies were conducted in the 1980s, as we understand detailed soybean root study is really difficult to do. A more recent study was conducted by a group of Argentinian scientists, and Adriani and Dardinelli, and reported that the downward extension of soybean root system was shown to be linear with time. An irrigation study was conducted, headed by James Peck at the University of Nebraska, reported that deferring irrigation, all irrigation until soybean R3 stage, which is a begin pod elongation, does not have a negative impact on a fortuitous low rainfall season in Nebraska. So this is kind of our framework of this study. We think the roots must have populated deeper down the root profile in order to survive and perform a good yield. In fact, this is a comparison of the yield as reported. We have here four treatments: the rain-fed, we have the deficit irrigation, 66% ET, and the full season, 100% ET, and then we have the 100% ET deferred, all of them deferred to R3. Remember, this is not a deficit irrigation, but just deferred to R3. This is what we normally see. The rain-fed is lower, and then we have the 66% ET, and then we have the 100% ET full season good performer. But if you notice that the 100% deferred to R3 shows a little bit of an advantage, although it's not really statistically significant, but it shows us that it doesn't really hurt the yield, remember, in a fortuitous low rainfall season in Nebraska. This is an example of a soil metric potential monitoring at the different depths. In the x-axis is the day of the year. The y-axis is our metric potential in centibars with its equivalent depth of available water in centimeters. And those color variations are from 30, 60 to 90 and 120 centimeter depth below the soil. And I call this initiation of water depletion point thinking that this might be caused by the roots, this downward turn. And so if we can have that, if we can simulate that, then we can do an experiment using only a soil metric potential sensor such as this to predict root growth over time. Now, the first objective of this research is to evaluate the congruence of soil water depletion patterns and the presence of roots at the same depths, and hopefully to develop an empirical model that will predict soybean root depth periodically after emergence. And lastly is to characterize and relate the relationship between the root phenology and the above ground phenology of the vegetative growth and reproductive development. The approach that we use for the water depletion is a watermark sensor, which is now getting popular because it's affordable. So we have a set of watermark sensors that contained, this is the granular matrix. We attach it to a PVC pipe, and these are the data loggers. And then we image the roots on a regular basis using a mini rhizotron setup. So this is the camera system this here, and this is the computer, and we install the clear acrylic tube at an angle to see the roots over time. Now, the study was conducted in Lincoln using a 3.1 maturity group of soybean, which we planted it in May 1, with a density of 20 plants per meter row in space of 76.2 centimeters apart. We used 15 tubes of 1.6 meters inserted at 1.2 meter deep because it was at the vertical, and it was installed every fourth row. We used 15 to maximize our effort, you know, because we understand there's a lot of variability. And also we have sets of water depletion sensors at varying depths as well, and then there's sensors as well to adjacent drip irrigation study. And this is how it looks like in the field. So this is how it looks like in the field. the tubes are ready for imaging from time to time, and we have the sets of watermark sensors. We also installed watermark sensors to our farmer co-operators nearby. So the first result is showing you the relationship of the depth to taproot tip and phenology. And if you look at the above ground phenology first, the y-axis here is our phenology of the VNR. This is the days after emergence. The zero is the day of emergence. And the negative 8 here is the days back at which we planted soybean. This is the vegetative component, and this is the reproductive here. If I plot a straight line from V1 up to the V stage at which the R5 occurred, it gives me this regression coefficient here, which is very similar to the report by Bastidas. And if I inverse this slope over here, it gives me 3.8 days of stem node per stem node development. And if I relate that to the below ground phenology, this is the taproot tip imaging here, and it looks like it's linear over time too, which is consistent to the Argentinian data reports. And this is the regression coefficient. It looks like it grows over 2 centimeters per day. Notice that I have here a maximum observation depth because I couldn't go any further. It was our first year of imaging. And I only stopped up until right after R1 before R3 because I couldn't observe for more than that. This is my maximum depth here. And notice that really soybean taproot extension, the tip of the taproot extension tip is really fast. If you notice at V0, which is probably 8 days after emergence, we already have this depth here. And again at R, which is my emphasis, we already reached this maximum observation depth. And if we extend that line, we could assume that it's even beyond 1.2 meters at R3. Now, I said it's linear, and this was the tip that I was monitoring earlier on, and days after emergence. So we notice here that at emergence, we already have over 10 centimeters, and at 13 days after emergence, we already have this long. The taproot tip was my initial goal to just monitor it because we assume that, okay, if we see the taproot tip, then all the roots are just kind of V-shaped like this. But I never really see a lot of root hairs in the taproot tip. So we decided to monitor branching level. So we have these parameters here set. This is our familiar root tip extension over here. And we do not only look at this taproot tip, but also the branching as well, because this is where our root hairs populates. Now, my first criteria was looking at the 5 millimeter secondary root, which is a growth from our main taproot. And you see here at this particular depth, there's a delay of around 10 days before that 5 millimeter appear at the same depth. And also, this is the 2 millimeter tertiary root, which is the vertical growth from the horizontal, which is the secondary. So I call it the taproot tip as primary. This is the secondary and the tertiary. Notice that the rate of appearance of a particular depth like that in a secondary and tertiary root is slower as compared to the taproot tip. And again, at R3, with the secondary and the tertiary root, they already populated this depth. So we can see that at this 60 days, a little over 60 days after emergence, we've already exploited that core volume of soil for water extraction, useful for the roots. I'm sorry, this water here. Okay, this is just an example of the monitoring soil metric potential over time. And this is another one here. And if I take those turned down, which I call initiation of water depletion, the curve up there, and I combined it with my observation with my primary, secondary, and tertiary root growth, it looks like those initiation with different at different depths is delayed after root tip, and it makes sense because we never really saw a lot of root hairs with those primary root. But however, it is delayed by that amount of days, but however, it is before the development of 5 millimeter secondary root. Remember, I'm measuring 5 millimeters, so by this time, I could think that the initiation is in fact the start of where the secondary branches occurred at a particular depth. Again, at R3, this initiation has already reached up to 1.2 meter. And so, having mentioned that, I come to the summary of my talk. The first summary is that the taproot downward extension versus time is linear. I might be predictable to a coincident shoot phenology. And then the taproot tip depth at which secondary and tertiary root appeared were linear over time, but of course it was slower than the taproot tip extension. And lastly, the initiation of water depletion at the given depth followed a linear pattern with the roots and delayed by approximately 4 days, which we can use this for water balance calculation. Thank you.
We have time for a couple questions for Jessica. Ken?
Yeah, the linear growth may have a conflict with the temperature dependent idea. What is your reaction on that? I mean, the temperature will be cooler early, so you might expect a difference.
Yeah, good that you raised that question because one of the slides we put the water depletion sensor also to a farmer's field, and you know, farmer's field are no-till, they're cooler than our experimental fields. What I noticed actually, I mean, it's hard to discuss this because no-till system is difficult to understand, it's a complicated system. Now, it seems like the slope of the depletion of the no-till system is quite faster than what we have here in the experimental field. However, at R3 stage, 60 days after emergence, it seems to me that the depth of the root depletion is very similar to what we have in our experimental field. But that is one thing that I would like to do for the next experimentation that I'm going to have to. But it's very interesting, actually. Thank you.
Just to follow up on that, you know, the temperature profile is very nonlinear. And if there was a temperature dependency, then that would go contrary to the linearity that you described in your root extension.
Yeah, I totally agree in that one. In fact, I don't know if you're familiar with the logistic function published in Kansas State that was probably 20 years ago. We're actually still using that one too because it kind of followed the logistic function of the temperature. But in fact, my colleague and I, Dr. Citiono, adjusted that logistic function according to, we just kind of vary the parameter there in order to because his logistic function, his linearity was a little after R3 and then towards the seed feeling. Well, my result says maybe the more linear phase of the logistic is a little earlier, you push it a little forward. So, but that's one thing that we have to look at. This is just an initial report, this data this year, and I hope that we would be able to improve it sometime.
One more question or comment? All right, let's do two more. Dennis and then Finn.
It could be that the temperature dependence is overwhelmed by the constraints that the soil puts on the taproot. I mean, you would assume that this is cell expansion, that it should have some temperature dependence, but it could be that it's the potential temperature growth, the potential rate of growth is much overwhelmed by what the soil constraints put on it, so it's actually being driven by pressure and water content constraints that the soil might have.
Yeah, definitely I agree on that one, and to my head, maybe it's more of affecting the branching, the secondary and tertiary root, but this is not true, but my feeling is that the taproot extension is just going down there without anything because it seems like it's a framework of the branching where active absorption happens. But that's a good question.
I got to move on to Finn and then we're going to have to move on.
I really appreciate this, the root studies. It's so hard work and I just hope we get the best out of it. My question is it possible, do you think, to assess the root density in the different layered soil by your method, because we also tried that and I think we gave up a bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky, but I've read some reports. I think it was somewhere published by a Japanese scientist that they've done that. But of course, then we have a problem of variability. So one thing maybe that we can do is probably make an inocular, like a real root measurement. But it's still, then it's hard. But I will check on that one. In fact, I was already looking at that, but I haven't. It's kind of a tedious task.
I am going to ask at the end of the session for the second half presenters to stay for a couple minutes to see if there's any more questions that we couldn't address during the session, if you guys don't mind. Our next speaker is Martin Gent from University of Connecticut with the Agricultural Extension Service.